Welcome to the Waco Experience, an American story.
We the people.
With your host, D. Scott Smith.
In order to form a more perfect union.
Interviews with leaders in business, government, and nonprofit organizations.
Promote the general welfare.
Jobs, products and services, and infrastructure for strong communities.
Secure the blessings of liberty.
The Waco Experience is an American story, a story of communities across America. It is your story.
Professional athletes from surf, but also like Shaun White, snowboarder, Tony Hawk, Matthew McConaughey and his family have been out here a bunch. Mark Zuckerberg's been here. John Hamilton, the chief science correspondent for NPR, came out here, did a story, had a blast, and then came back with his family like 3 weeks later. They all stayed in the cabin. Again, you never know who you're going to see here. Metallica, Johnny Knoxville, Steve-O.
In this episode of the Waco Experience, an American Story, I'm on location at Waco Surf for part two of my conversation with Mike Schwab, one of the owners of this world-famous destination resort in Waco, Texas. I'm your host, D. Scott Smith. Each week, I bring you stories from leaders in business, government, and nonprofit organizations. Waco Surf is an important part of tourism here in Waco. This program is made possible by sponsors, White Bluffs Construction, Custom Building, Home Remodeling. Call Seth at 254-227-2002 and schedule White Bluffs Construction to build your patio, deck, or maybe you're ready to build that custom home. Visit the website, whitebluffsconstruction.com. We had questions about health care insurance. Monica Shannon of Texas Healthcare for You listened to us and helped my family to find the right insurance coverage. Call Monica today at 254-339-3421. Visit the website, txhealthcareforyou.com. That's txhealthcare, the number 4, and the letter u.com. Biddy & Bo's Coffee offers hot and cold beverages, catering, and provides employment for people with disabilities. They have a conference room you can reserve and use at no cost. Visit Biddy & Bo's Coffee today at 110 Franklin in Waco. The Cactus Rose Ranch offers Western riding lessons for beginners, intermediate, and advanced riders. Bring your own horse or use one from right there on the ranch. You'll learn confidence and fundamental horsemanship from day one. Learn more online at thecactusroseranch.com. Heart of Texas TV, indoor billboards. My friend James Battle, former helicopter pilot for the U.S. Army and his team at Hot TV, amplify your brand where it matters most. Be seen where your customers eat, work, shop, and play. Learn more on the web, hotdigitaltv.com. These guys here, this is part two at Waco Surf.
Yes, sir.
Mike Schwab, if you tuned in to the last episode, we got a great background on the facility here. This is a destination facility. It is known globally, loved locally. There's all kinds of activities to do, from the surfing, cable park, to the slides, to the lazy river, which is, how long is that thing?
It takes 45 minutes to get around.
Okay, it's a long river.
It's a serious river trip.
All right, so you're making a commitment when you jump into the lazy river here.
Oh, yeah. Like on a Saturday, we have people that show up when we open at 11 in the morning and just float in circles all day, just hang out.
We found out last time, lots of different restaurants.
We pride ourselves on not being interested at all at selling water park food. We want to sell food that everyone, if the staff included, myself included, goes, yeah, dude, I'll eat here every day. I'm here every day.
Anniversary coming up. This is a great place to come out. Go to the full service restaurant.
Yeah, dude.
Just enjoy the view. Have some good food. Enjoy the time.
Sit at the dive bar. Have a cocktail. Watch everyone surfing. It's a good time.
You came here. You came here roughly 5 years ago. Bought the park.
Yes, sir.
But you had been here beforehand.
Yeah, I came here one time before to surf. I came with one of my business partners now. He was like, I got to show you this place. We're going to fly out to Waco. And we came and we surfed. And it was the first night I went to bed. And I woke up in the middle of the night and my legs were so sore. I was like, dang, I have not caught that many waves in so long that my legs were nuked. And after that moment, I was like, I'm hooked, bro. I'm hooked. You could spend weeks in the ocean hoping to get as many waves as you get here in an hour, and they're not going to be as good.
So when we last talked, you were telling us about the wedge wave.
Yes, sir.
And getting into the barrel. And then we closed out that last episode with this interaction with waves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like you can go on a surf trip, and this has very much happened to me. You plan these big trips, right? So you're not planning it 2 days out. Like pro surfers get the benefit of being like, hey man, there's going to be a swell that hits Indonesia in 3 days. Let's go. Most people, they got work, they got families. That's not the way it works. So you plan a month in advance. And then as soon as you buy that ticket, you are very much at the whim of Mother Nature. One of my business partners here as well, same guy. We did a surf trip to the Maldives one time, and gorgeous, just didn't matter that there weren't any waves because we got to go snorkeling and hang out. It was gorgeous. But the first 5 days we were there, the ocean was just dead flat, like not a wave in sight. And it's not like you can change your trip, right? I was living in Australia at the time, and we got off the plane at the Mali airport, and I ran into a bunch of dudes that lived in Manly Beach, just north of Sydney. And ran into a bunch of dudes leaving to go back. And they lived in my little hometown that I was living in at the time. And that they gave us the proverbial, oh, man, you guys should have been here last week. I'm like, of course we should have. Thank you. Thank you for telling me that.
Right. Every sport like that. Yeah, right. So snow skiing, all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Oh, the powder last week was great. Now it's ice.
Yeah. So yeah. Like these surf lagoons are the ultimate retort to that. It's like, no, dude, you can book a trip a year from now and you know you're going to show up and get fantastic waves, fantastic experience, get to hang out with your family, your friends, whoever you're coming with, but you're going to score waves.
So let's go back to the origin
for
sure. Mike Schwab.
Oh, yeah.
Southern California.
Yes, sir.
I mean, it's like the heart of surf culture in America.
Oh, yeah.
Southern California. It doesn't get any more Beach Boys-ish than that, whatever, you know. Let's talk about growing up. When did you get involved in surfing, and what did you do in Southern California?
Yeah, so grew up in Southern California. I actually didn't start surfing until I was about 18 years old. Graduated high school. I'd moved out, and I met some dudes that were really into it, and so I just started tagging along with them. Like I talked about in the first episode, it's like you get your first real wave, and you're hooked. And from that point on, my life kind of, if it didn't revolve around it, it included surfing. So I went to college, got a degree in business administration at California State University, San Marcos, surfed that whole time. And while I was there, I got an internship that turned into a full-time job as soon as I graduated. And about 2 weeks later, we had a big sales meeting with all of the global reps coming out. And the guy that ran the Australian office, him and I just hit it off. Like I knew he was coming, but I saw this dude walk into this business meeting. Everyone else got their suits on except for me and him. And he's got like a giant rusty belt buckle, denim jeans. Like he's looking the Australian part. And we hit it off a ton to the point where by the end of the sales meeting, he was like, you should move to Australia and come work with me. And I said, yep, that sounds fantastic. So I went and worked for that company in Australia. And I did that until my visa expired. And it's like about 4 years. You can get about a 4-year visa if someone sponsors you to come over. And I knew I didn't want to leave Australia. And one of my roommates at the time worked for O'Neill, the wetsuit company. And he said, while you're looking for another sponsor, come work at O'Neill with me. And I went out there and started off literally just working in the warehouse. I was picking and packing orders, sending them out. But my operational background started making me pester everyone else that worked there. Like, why do we do this? Why do we do that? What, you know, if we did this, it'd be much more efficient. And then they were like, dude, if you will run the warehouse, customer service and accounts, we'll sponsor you to stay here. And I've since that moment, I've not left the surf industry. After O'Neill, I went and ran a surf clothing company in Hawaii for a bit. Whilst this opportunity presented itself, I was doing the due diligence. I was living in San Diego, but I was flying out here 2020 every other week. Week here, week in San Diego. And at the same time, I was doing a lot of consulting work for companies like there's a ton of surf-based companies that are in Southern California. So I was doing consulting work with Vans, Reef, Eastpak Backpack. Whilst doing this, and then once it looked like we were going to finalize this deal, packed up the wife, packed up the car, and moved to Texas.
And you met your wife in Australia.
In Australia. My wife's Australian. She was the women's designer at O'Neill. I always used to say that she was the super fun, creative, bubbly one, and I was the boring spreadsheet guy.
Good combination.
It is. It is. It works.
And she's doing marketing out here.
Yeah, she's the director of sales and marketing out here.
So family business.
It's a lot like a family business.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. Where's the best place to surf in Australia for those who want to pack up and roll the dice on some waves?
Yeah, I got to be super careful here so all my Australian friends don't come over here and beat me with a stick. But I will say that the size of Australia, it's about the same size as the United States. But the population is just about LA County South in California only. So the whole population is based around your major capital cities, your Sydneys, your Melbournes, your Adelaides, your Brisbanes, etc. It's about a 9-hour drive in between most of those cities. In that 9-hour span, you're driving along the coast. Most of it is national park with a bunch of campgrounds. If I was giving someone some advice to go on a surf trip, I would say land in Sydney, fly out of Brisbane, land in Sydney, fly out of Melbourne, and you just start making your way down the coast. And the place is littered with fantastic surf spots where there's a good chance it's just going to be you, your friends. And again, one of the benefits of owning a surf lagoon, if you're doing that trip in Australia, it's just you, your friends, and whatever's living in that water. Because they do get a little sharky sometimes in Australia.
Well, every ocean has its stuff, right?
Apex predators.
There's something out there. But there's something about the organic side. How does that compare? If you were, just to compare.
There is certainly something freeing and a little bit hippie for you, spiritual, about being in the ocean. I think any surfer will tell you that. Just floating around in the ocean, frolicking in the waves is a magical experience. The surf side, you can't really beat what we got going on here. If you're going specifically to go surfing, it's like you won't know the difference other than, you know, you're sitting there waiting for your wave to come. You hear everything start to ramp up. You're looking around. There's a hotel right there. There's people hanging out on the beach. Looks a little bit different, a little more concrete than you'll see at the ocean. But as soon as you get to your feet, you're surfing, baby. You're absolutely surfing.
When we finished the last episode, you were really going into that, into, I'll say, just that visceral part, that part that hits your spirit side.
Yes.
The part of our body or our brain where we don't actually have capacity for language, that emotional side. Let's just talk about some of those aspects of surfing that people are going to get when they come out here.
Yeah, especially if you've never done it before. Like if I did describe it to someone that had never surfed before, that I was trying to convince to come try the beginner wave, just come out. Because the first hurdle to overcome is most people are scared of it. Scared of moving water. You know, water, a gallon of water weighs 8 pounds, and there's a lot of gallons of water in there, right? When you're moving it around, you know, getting people comfortable with the idea that on our list of priorities of everything we do here, if you're thinking like experience, food, check-in, guest journey, number one is safety. Like you'll see how many staff we have on today, just ensuring that this is a safe, fun place to be. Because we don't want you to worry about the safety side. That's us. We want you to worry about coming out here having a good time. So once you get past that hurdle, describing surfing truly is a feeling that I have not experienced any place else and anything else I've ever done. There's other endorphin rush, dopamine inducing activities you can do, but surfing specifically is something that I've never felt before. And I think a lot of that comes from the ability to manipulate the wave and your actions. Like you get to decide how fast you want to go, how slow you want to go, if you want to try and do some turns, if you want to feel like, if I'm on this part of the wave, what does it feel like? Versus if I get in front of it a little bit, what does it feel like? The minutia as you get better in being able to do more to manipulate a wave is almost infinite. Like I'm still figuring it out. I've been surfing 20 something years now, and my skill set since being here is exponentially better than it was when I got here.
And you watch the videos of people surfing when they're carving, cutting.
Oh yeah.
I mean, all that stuff, right? I mean, it's art, right? That they're doing that with. I had a friend that, when he was in Southern California, he was carving surfboard blanks, right? Taking the foam and carving that. And that's an art in itself.
Big time.
So let's talk about these boards because you have boards available. People bring their boards. Tell me about the equipment.
Yeah. So that's another one that we pride ourselves on, is maintaining just a world-class quiver of surfboards, that it doesn't matter how good you are, what your surfing type is. I don't even know how to describe that. Like, some people like to just cruise and flow. Other people like to carve. So we make sure that we've got a wide selection of boards from the top shapers in the country and the world for you to choose from. And yes, it is absolutely an art. Hydrodynamics in the way that you shape the tail to the rocker, which is, you know, if you stare down a surfboard, 98% of them, it's just not a flat blank, right? You have rocker in it. The way that the rails, which is the side bits, are shaped so that they can either cut super deep into the water or can just plane better. It is quite the art form. One that I've never tried, because I'm always like, dude, you're going to get two in your head on this.
You get to use them.
Exactly.
Right. So which is the more, right? Yeah. Just like, I love this. I don't like that as much, man.
I do that as much as possible. Every time we get a new board model, I take it out, go see what I like, and really figured out now, dialed in with where my surfing is at today, the type of board that I like. Like, I know the board shape. I know my general leaderage. It's a good way to know what size board you should ride, because the smaller your board is, the easier it is to turn, but the harder it is to paddle. So finding that sweet spot and being able to maintain speed, being able to get to your feet, but then also being able to move around. So yeah, every time we get a board that's in that 26 to 28 liter range, I'm going to take it out at least once, hopefully love it, get myself one of them. I didn't bring you into my office today, but I probably got like 9 surfboards just in my office.
Occupational hazard.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
It's going to happen. We talked about the notoriety of the facility here. You guys have had some pretty big magazines and news outlets. Talk about the folks that have come out and done stories.
Yeah, it really spans the gamut from like crazy editorial, you know, being a cover of Texas Monthly. That was huge for me. Like, I've read Texas Monthly before I lived here, and getting the cover story in Texas Monthly was huge. We got approached by them. This dude Ben, he's their politics writer, and he's reached out and he said, once a year I get to do a fun story. He's like, I really want to do it on you guys. He's like, it doesn't mean it's going to get published. And we were like, yeah, dude, heck yeah. So he came out, stayed with us for a couple of days, and then he started coming back and started sending photographers. And it was like the third visit with the photo crew that the photographer told us. He's like, yeah, man, they're requesting a lot of content. He's like, I don't want to get your hopes up, but they're like requesting like cover content. And we were all like, oh my God. And then instantly when he said that, the first thing that went in my mind, I was like, what have you said to that man? Because they don't give it to you before they print it. But it was great. And then we get professional athletes from surf, but also like Sean White, snowboarder, Tony Hawk, Matthew McConaughey and his family have been out here a bunch. Mark Zuckerberg's been here. NPR did a story on us. We've done a lot of local KWBU stuff, but John Hamilton, the chief science correspondent for NPR, came out here. Did a story, had a blast, and then came back with his family like 3 weeks later. They all stayed in the cabin. Again, you never know who you're going to see here. Metallica, Johnny Knoxville, Steve-O. I could sit here and rack my brain.
You know, I'm just thinking, when you get somebody like Mark Zuckerberg, I mean, the guy's got nothing but money, right? I mean, he can go anywhere in the world. Came to Waco to go surfing.
Yeah, stayed here, stayed at the lake house with his family.
Right. What do you do different?
That was a special one because obviously, you know, he's got a lot more needs, but his team was fantastic. There was a group of security personnel that got here like a week in advance. And if you didn't know who they were, you wouldn't know who they were. And the rest of the time, like, because they had all that in place, like, the dude just cruised. We were open.
So he didn't like book the whole place private?
He booked the surf lagoon private.
Okay.
But then the rest of the park was open. He was like, hey, you want to go show me around? So we walked out here, ran into John Hamilton, which was hilarious because he was here with his family. But yeah, just went and cruised.
So this is the place to be. You want to see and be seen?
Very fortunate in the notoriety. You know, I don't want to downplay the amazing amount of work that this team has put into making this place what it's known for.
So what is your staff like? How many folks do you have out here?
this time of year, we probably got 250 on the books. But like our, I guess I should talk about like our season, right? We run surf accommodations and some F&B outlets basically from March 1st.
And what's F&B?
Food and beverage.
Sorry. Food and beverage. There we go.
There we go. There we go. And that runs basically from March until the end of the year. And at the end of the year, we shut everything down, we drain everything, do maintenance, fill it back up, get ready to restart a new season. And then the cable park, the water slides, and the lazy river, basically like our day use water park business, runs typical water park season, which is beginning of May to beginning of September. Once kids go back to school, water park business kind of dies down. So we kind of wrap that up then.
You say the business dries up.
Hey, I like
Sorry about that.
I like it. I like it. And another one that we're adding another amenity over by the slides in the lazy river, kind of like right in between the slides and the lazy river, should be open for about April next year. So it's called a deep water standing wave. Upon first view, kind of looks like the old flow riders that you see, you know, where you get the water that shoots up a form and you just kind of slide back and forth on a flat board, no fins. Again, human beings have figured out how to replicate the natural phenomenon that you see in river waves like Bend, Oregon, or the Eisbach in Germany, that it creates a lateral wave side to side. So you're just going back and forth. You don't need to create your own speed. It's creating speed for you, but you can ride boards with fins. So we're putting one of those in, and that will obviously be a huge pull for surfers, because it's a great way to work on your turns, learn how to turn.
But yeah, I've seen them do that in the river in Bend. I was over there, and it's funny because they just jump in, hop on the board.
Yeah, yeah. Humans have figured out how to replicate that. So, and we've got one coming, and that'll be another great way to introduce people who have never surfed before to the feeling of surfing.
What do you see for tourism here in Central Texas? Because I'd say this is a destination spot.
Mm.
What are you feeling? You're talking to other folks, I'm sure.
Yeah, we already see a ton of economic impact in the city of Waco. We've become very close with the Department of Tourism. We give them our visitation numbers monthly. We're included in the Waco tourism figures because we do pull in a lot of people from out of town. It's so important to us to include and introduce Waco as a town to people that would have been like me in 2019. 2019, I just showed up, stayed in the hotel, surfed a bunch, and then went home. And now having lived here, I'm like, dang, I wish someone would have told me, go check this out, go check this out, go check this out. So that's something that we do to everyone that books trips. We're like, these are the places you should go check out. There's a ton of other stuff down there you'll find. You'll love it. Because the Waco community is that classic Southern hospitality that you hear about, which is great, but it's also very authentic, I suppose. The friendships and relationships that my wife and I have made here, like we've been here for 5 years and we have lifelong friends, people that will stay with us no matter where we end up.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same. You know, we've been here now coming up on 11 months, and even 6 months in, you know, you would have thought we've lived in this community for 10 years based on the people that we know and the friendships and the depth that we have here in the Waco community.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like when my wife and I first bought our house, I used to have this little charcoal barbecue because it was just the two of us, this little charcoal barbecue. And we're like, we just sat outside and we're grilling some steaks. And I think every neighbor, we were the new folks in town, right? But like every neighbor came over with beers, cookies, whatever, and just hung out for a little bit. It's like that type of hospitality that you don't see a lot of places.
There are some changes economically on the global
for
level.
Sure.
Have you seen anything here or kind of any indicators that things are going up or down or staying flat?
We knew coming into this year, well, we had presumed coming into this year, and luckily we were right about it. Tourism was going to be down. Hospitality would be down, especially like international travel is down like 13 points year over year of people coming into the United States, which, you know, makes up a decent part of our business. But we kind of saw it coming and started really focusing on drive time because the data was coming out and showing that people are still going to be taking trips, but they're not going to be flying. They don't plan on spending as much money, but they still want to go travel. So we shifted our marketing towards drive time. That's as, for us, it's as far away as Houston, but really focusing on the Austin and Dallas communities. So we put a lot of PR.
And that's plenty of millions of people.
Exactly. Right. We put a lot of PR behind it. We put a lot of paid and organic media behind it just to introduce this place to a broader demographic. It's been great. Like I said, our beginner surf session is our highest occupancy rate surf session at the moment. And that's because we're telling people about this place, getting them to check it out. They're doing it and then coming back again, being like, yeah, dude, I have to do that again. Have to do that again.
So you get to apply your business
exactly.
side, right? Well, your business education, right?
I have to, or I'll be out of a job. My first job out of college was like a marketing ops job. And that's the job that moved me to Australia. But then once I got into Australia is when I realized that, like, no, dude, you're an operator. I say it all the time. I was like, being an operator is like the worst job in the world. But some of us just can't help ourselves, cannot help ourselves. Same thing to you. It's like, what does the future look like? What do I need to get done in the next 6 months to get there? What do I need to get done in the next 3 months to make sure that 6 months is hit? Where am I going to be in 3 years? You know, you end up building a lot of models that you never get to do anything with because you're like, hey, man, this doesn't make sense for us right now. We're going to have to revisit this later on. That's part of the gig. And that's why some people hate operations because, like, yeah, you do a lot of planning. Some of it comes to fruition. And, yeah, you manage a lot of staff.
Today on the Waco Experience, an American story out here at Waco Surf with Mike Schwab. Mike, when we ended up the last episode, you were really... I will say dropping into the philosophical side. So as we wind down, give us hope, insight, spiritual enlightenment.
Oh, wow. That's a big ask. But
we're here to hear what you have to offer.
Heck yeah. I'll do my best. All right. Where do we start? Let's talk about the future and being a human being and how that relates to where we are today at Waco Surf. I feel like we've kind of gotten away from a true outsider community. Everything's kind of gotten compressed. You've got a very tight-knit group of people that probably all think the same way you do. They're from the same place you're from. And it's not like college where you go and you get to meet a bunch of different people. That is what Waco Surf is. You're going to meet people from around the world. You're going to meet people from around the country. You're going to meet people from different backgrounds than you. You're going to meet people that have done way better than you have. And you're going to meet people that are struggling. And it is humanizing. And this place has allowed us to be a part of a community that returns to the... You're already frothing out of your brain because you're having a good time. So all of that... BS, worldly BS disappears and you get to be a human again and just talk to other humans and learn from them and appreciate their story and hopefully leave a more well-rounded person than you were when you got here.
The Waco Experience, an American story, is a production of D. Scott Smith Company, all rights reserved. Thank you for listening.